I'd like to begin by two very important messages. First of all, it's amazing to come back to the Israel Center and see everybody here. I think it's really beautiful that on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we're returning to slowly life back again. And I always find a beautiful idea by Rav Kook. Rav Kook says that the reason why we're so concerned about a leap year and making Pesach and the Aviv is because it doesn't feel right to have redemption of our people when it's raining and cold. We want the entire nature to redeem. We see the flowers blossom and the trees, and it's a perfect time. So that's verse number one. The second message, and I want to say very clear, this is the most important message of the entire shir. When I was talking about countertops or Haggalah or Chametz behind your fridge, Nisan and Pesach is supposed to be a fun, enjoyable, non-pressure, non-pain, no screaming, no anxiety, a fun time. I love how people decide that Pesach, Erev Pesach is the time where they have to start scrubbing their roofs and painting their... No, you want to do it, it's great if it's fine. But cleaning and cooking for Pesach is supposed to be an enjoyable experience. And more than any single chumrah I'm going to tell you, and any new dish you're going to buy, and new oven you're going to switch, it's important. That's the most important part of Pesach. It's family, quality, enjoyable time. And if you come to Leila Seder, and you're all fed up, and you fall asleep in the soup, and you don't get the Seder, it's not worth it. So if I get that message through to all of you, whether it be on Zoom or in face-to-face, it's the most important message. And yes, you can do it in a couple of days, or in 5 hours, or in 6 hours, whatever needs to be done, it can be done. But I want to tell you a story. This past week, I was taking my daughter to school at 7:15 in the morning, and suddenly I'm going to get my four little kids, and I see my daughter take out a drawer. She takes out the drawer from the, from inside the, and she said, "Shira, what are you doing?" She's like, "Oh, it's almost Pesach." There's a 8 years old. I said, "Thank God." So I want to talk briefly about certain aspects of cleaning for Pesach, and then we're going to go into some aspects of kashrut, and I'll, of course, try to be time for questions, because that's what's going to be my next 2 weeks on the phone or on WhatsApp or as part of what we do. And selling chametz, that's right. So where do we have to clean, right? There's a mitzvah to remove all the chametz. The mitzvah is called biur chametz. We want to remove all the chametz from the house. There's a mitzvah, of course, to burn it or remove it, put it in the drain or throw it away or release all ownership of it. But where are we supposed to clean? So the idea is like this. You're only supposed to clean in areas where chametz might actually be, right? That does not mean that on the roof, on your gutter, where it's disgusting, there's chametz, there's no chametz there. It never got there, and if it did get there, nobody would touch it. You're supposed to get areas where there are chametz. What does that mean? That means your kitchen, that means your living room, that means your dining room. If you have little kids, it is recommended to clean their rooms as well, because it happened to me on a number of occasions that I found some pretzels and wafers and all kinds of hidden treats my kids got from shul. They hid it under their pillow, so it's important to clean those areas. I want to mention before I continue, something important about this year specifically, and it's very common in many houses that I know of. If you have a backyard or a front yard, does your yard need to be cleaned for Pesach? So the answer is no. You don't have to clean your yard for Pesach. However, can you throw your chametz in your yard? So halacha is like this. If any day before Yudal Nisan, the 14th of Nisan, any chametz that you decide to throw in your yard, we're assuming that birds came and ate it up, or dogs or cats. However, and this is important for this year, many people on Erev Pesach eat in their yard. Sometimes they eat outside, right? If you have a yard or a backyard. And on Shabbat, because Shabbat this year is Erev Pesach, some people prefer not to have chametz in the house, they eat outside. Now, because Erev Pesach is on Yudalid, there you're not allowed to rely on the heter that it's eaten up. So if you do eat outside on Erev Pesach this year, I will put a pinket blanket under your table and then throw all the crumbs either in the garbage or outside. That's an important thing to know, specifically for this year, because of the idea of the yard. Now, of course, what else has to be cleaned? So again, there's the cabinets, any area where chametz might be, cabinets, food cabinets, kitchens, anywhere in that area should be cleaned. There's a minhag to sell our chametz. A lot of people sell chametz. It is recommended by, preferably, I don't want to get into too many details, but because there are certain questions regarding the selling of chametz, if possible, it's preferable not to sell actual chametz, bread, pita, biscuits, pasta. It's preferable to sell what's called svek chametz. all kinds of, whether it be flour or all kinds of things that might have a mixture of chametz. However, if somebody has a large collection of whiskey, like I'm a rabbi of a community from the UK, where that's what they drink all day and all night, and they have a large expensive bottle of whiskey. So that, of course, is the heter. That's where you're allowed to sell your chametz. Or stores, or if you have a business that has chametz, you're definitely allowed to. If you don't have to sell chametz be'ein, actual chametz, it's preferable not to. But again, if you're selling very precious or a large amount, then you can sell it and put it away in the right place. There's a, with regarding the utensils that you use all year long, there's no need to actually clean them, meaning you don't have to, you know, I mean, you don't have to go through all the kelim. As long as they're being cleaned through the dishwasher, through your sink, you store them in their place and you close it for Pesach. Regarding the utensils, there's an unfortunate custom. I say it because it's I'm trying to change this, and many people, Rebbeim, realize this. Some people have an odd custom to sell their dishes and pots and pans for Pesach. They put it in their shtar mechira that they sell all the utensils for Pesach. Do not do that. Do you know why? What's going to happen after Pesach? You're going to have to tovel things all over again. You have to tovel all your kelim. That's what you don't want. So there is a certain minhag to do it. Do not sell your dishes and pots and pans. And I recommend that when you sell your chametz, if you do, to go to your rabbi and make sure that it's thought in the shtar. Because I get calls, what do I do? And I have to start seeing all kinds of halachic situations. I had a busy enough Pesach. I don't need a busy time after Pesach also. So that's something that's important, not to sell your kelim. Okay. An issue that should be brought up is that the Gemara talks about something called a mapolet, which is a rock, or rocks that fall. The Gemara says that if there's chametz under a pile of rocks that can't be accessed, then there's no need to clean. You just do what's called bitul. You nullify the chametz before Pesach, and that's sufficient. Because you can't get to the chametz. The same is true, especially those of us who are not in our best shape, for these really high places. Sometimes a kid comes and throws his chametz dafka, right, Pesach, he comes with a wafer, he throws it over, you know, over behind the cabinets. There's no reason to move the cabinets. There's no reason to move your dressers to find chametz, even if you know there's chametz there, because you don't get there. It's called bittul. Now, moving the fridge, so of course my wife makes me get on the ground every Pesach, at least twice, and I got to move the fridge. That's what I do in my house. If you're not able, I'm not trying to insult anybody here, you don't get to those areas, then there's no reason to clean it. Bittul is enough. It's nice to clean it up, but if you're not accessible to actually get behind the fridge or behind these really hard places, again, if you have somebody help you out, it's always nice, but if you can't get there and it's non-accessible, it's like a mapolet. You do bittul and zel bittul. You nullify the chametz, and that is sufficient for Pesach. That's like a mapolet. And now I'm going to move to a slight review regarding Heksher Kilim, and then we're going to go into questions. So regarding kashering for Pesach, there are three types of ways to kasher halachically, and that's the only type of kashering we really use. There's something called kelim or utensils that you use with cold, fridges, freezers. There are things that use chametz with hot water, pots, cutlery, spatulas. And then there's utensils that use chametz in dry heat. So the halacha says in the Gemara, kipol'o kach polto. As it absorbs, that is how it releases. Meaning, the way the food and flavor was absorbed into the utensil, the same way it'll release the utensil in the same fashion. So when there's something cold, like, for example, fridges, right? They have all kinds of spills and messes, or sometimes, all I have to do is wipe them down. Somebody asked me yesterday, can I take a steamer and steam my entire fridge? I said, listen, if you want to, it makes it easier for you. I don't mind, but you don't have to. So anything that uses with cold, you're allowed to clean in the same fashion. Regarding cutlery and pots, you have to do something called hagala. What's hagala? Hagala is a type of purging where we make sure that we have a pot or a large area with water that boils, and we dip in either the pots or the pans or the dishes. In Israel, it's very common to have the rabbanut, their local rabbinical council, create these kind of twice a year, during Pesach, before Pesach, to do these activities. You can do them in the comfort of your own home. If needed, I'll happy to guide you through it. Regarding Hagala, as opposed to cold, as opposed to, we're going to talk about dry heat in a second, it has to be Eino Ben Yomo. What is Eino Ben Yomo? Every utensil that you're using to kasher with Hagala, it cannot be used 24 hours before kasher. That means, if I have a pot and cutlery, or a kiddush cup, that I want to kasher, so I have to make sure I don't kasher it within 24 hours of its last use. It has to be 24-hour break between its use. We're going to talk about other aspects of the kish that have to do with this as well. There's something called libun. Libun is when I use dry heat. So a barbecue or a roaster or something, or all these areas where I use something very, very hot with no water as a median, I have to kash that with something called libun. Libun is when it has to be so hot that it becomes red, or that it, some say that sparks come from it. It's very, very hard to do, but certain machine you can do it with. One of the concerns regarding libun is that there are certain utensils that we're concerned that might break. So the halacha was concerned, our sages were concerned, you wouldn't do it correctly. That's why when it comes to oven trays, if you put your cakes directly on oven trays without any paper, without a real, real separation, you cook directly on the tray. I'll talk about the rack. Now, the rack has one with the holes in between. There's a tray that's like you put cakes on. So that needs libun because there's direct dry heat. And that's a problem because if you do that to your trays, they're going to break. So we'll get to kashing the oven in a second. I just wanted to give that example. Regarding libun, you don't have to have what's called eno ben yomo, meaning it's sufficient because it burns the flavor. You can do it bo bayom. A self-cleaning oven is the best example. If you have a self-cleaning oven, that's libun chamor. It destroys everything and anything. It's like they say, including the stove. So you could theoretically, on Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos this year, you could turn the self-cleaning oven on. I don't know how long it takes, an hour, 20 minutes, or 2 hours, a couple hours before Shabbat, even though you just made your Shabbos food, right? You can do it, and there's no problem of waiting. Eino ben yom. That's the with regarding to libun. Okay, now there's something called libun kal, and this is where you get complicated. Libun kal is heating up with dry heat the utensils that I can't do hagala to, meaning they're normally hagala is when I use utensils with water. But certain utensils, it's hard for me to do hagala to. For example, like my, it's hard for me to take off my entire burners on my coil, so I do some libun kal. That's not as extreme as libun chamor. It's not this really super duper red heating thing. It makes it very hot, 200 to 300 degrees Celsius is enough. 300 degrees Fahrenheit is enough, and it becomes hot enough that if something would touch it, it would start to burn. So that's what we do with many other different kinds of kale that we can't do hagala to. This includes coils and so on and so forth. The first thing I want to start with coming to kashu in the kitchen after these rules is countertops. Now, what do we do with a countertop? Problem with the countertop is that very often a countertop receives either a hot toast, right? I besides make some toast and it touches the table, the countertop, or sometimes I'm cooking and something spills on top of it. So how do we kashu our countertop? So it's as follows. If your countertop is made from earthenware, from old style Israeli, you know, with the little pictures on top, it's actually, you know, earthenware. It's made from acrylic stuff. So that can't be kosher because the Torah says, "V'chol klicheres asher bo yishaber." You can't have klicheres. You can't kosher anything that's earthenware. It doesn't remove it. So you can't, you're supposed to kosher it. So if you have an earthenware a countertop, you have to cover it. So what I do, you take two lines of aluminum foil and you cover it. There is a custom, I won't deny it. I have a lot of, you know, it bothers me, but I'll share it with you. There are many people who have a custom to both pour hot water and cover. And I can never figure out why you do both. If you're covering it, you're not using it. And if you're kosher, you don't need to cover it. So I actually saw that Rosh Lomazan Auerbach and many other poskim bring that they're concerned that there might be holes in the aluminum. So I think back then when there were holes, if you really use a solid 2 or 3 cover, heavy duty, you know, I don't know what they call them in America, or, you know, these really heavy duty aluminums, that's enough. You don't have to kosher as well. But again, there is a custom to pour hot water on the earthenware countertops and cover them. Now, if you have marble or granite countertops, you can kosher them for Pesach because they're made of stone. Stone could be koshered for Pesach. How do you kosher it? So of course, we're going back to the 24-hour rule that you don't use the countertops for 24 hours. What does that mean? It means you should be very careful not to put anything hot on the countertops. I'd prefer, try to keep, like, I do areas every day. There's an area of a countertop where I leave it off and I kosher, try to put it on the side. And that would be, that's how you kosher the marble and granite. Now, after, for 24 hours, you take your kumkum or your hot water and you heat it up till it boils. You very carefully, I don't want to get caused by people getting burnt, pour hot water as close as you can on the countertops because that's sufficient. And the marble and granite countertops are kosher Pesach and there's no need to cover them. In Israel, there's another type of countertop called Evan Kesar or Caesar stone. So Caesar stone is a little complicated. It's 97 or 96% rock and a little bit of some glues and stuff mixed inside. So there was a debate between the OU Poskim what to do, and the OU rabbis, Rav Belsky, Zecher Tzedek Livracha, and Rav Schecht, I think, also agreed, you can also kasher Caesar stone in the same fashion. So you have a Caesar stone countertop, you can do the same thing. Has anybody ever heard of Silly Granite? Oh, very good. Oh, there you go. So Silly Granite is a really, really new, very, very cool sink and countertop. It's made of 80% granite and about 20 to 19% mix of acrylic stuff. So the truth is, I haven't, there are certain kosher organizations say you can kosher for Pesach. The OU has not yet got it to a conclusion. So I have to do more research about the Silly Granite, because it's, on the one hand, it is granite. However, it's mixed with a mixture. So I haven't gotten to a conclusion, but hopefully I'll get one in the next couple of days and I can get back to you. But Silly Granite is unique. They also make sinks like it. That's your countertops. Let's go to your sinks. So same thing we talked about, the countertops being made of earthenware. It's true regarding the sinks that are made with earthenware. So sinks in Israel that are made with, you know, that are made out of ceramic, they can't be koshered. And because a lot of heat goes inside the sink and so forth, it's preferable to have either a rack, or I buy a sink insert of plastic. It's not hard to find. Any hardware store in Israel, you can get the size, put in a raised sink insert, and then you're done in terms of your sinks for Pesach. If your sink is made of stainless steel, or maybe silly granite, so then you can kosher the sink. You have stainless steel, you have to clean it very well, wait, of course, 24 hours, and then I would use, again, the boiling hot water aspect to do it. Regarding the faucets, so again, I want to be careful, because many people are very, very holy minhagim, and I don't want to make people feel like they're overdoing themselves, but I'm not sure if it's so practical. Some people, I'm not joking with you, change their faucets for Pesach. They remove their faucet, they use their faucet. I remember last year on Corona, a rabbi told me, he said, I think this year we can be baker with Corona, not to change your faucet. I said, okay. The answer is you do not have to change your faucets. There's no need to change your faucets. What I would do is I would clean them with bleach, and I would recommend, if possible, sometimes to flip it over. There's like the side, meaning normally you can, there's the side where the faucet comes out. I would turn over and pour hot water on it to really clean it very well. If you want to take apart the edge of the, you know, the strainer and clean, that's also nice, but it really is sufficient. You don't have to change your faucets for Pesach. I have seen it done. Don't get me wrong. On Pesach, it's whatever. People buy new kitchens. They buy new this. They buy a new toilet. There you go. There are those who put a cloth on the top, and that's like a strainer, and that's sufficient. Important to clean the whole sink there and pour hot water on top of it, and do hagal to the sink, because what happens is sometimes the steam when you're pouring out like pasta, you know, absorbs there, so you have to do hagal to that, and that's enough for the sink. Okay, so the question here was regarding the drainer, that piece, right? So that also can have a hagala kandanti. You could put it in a pot and do hagala to it as well. It's sufficient, I think, is done. There's no. Some people also take apart the pipe and clean it out, but that's also not needed. I don't want to tell you what I've seen. I got to be honest. You could take something to take apart. Again, these are holy minhagim. I wouldn't say no, but if something is difficult to do, I don't think it's completely needed. By the way, if you have this, what I do with my sink is, if I have an insert where it's I have an insert where it's slightly above, so I have my own. I buy a plastic drainer. That's, you know, also sufficient. That's how you kosher your sinks. Regarding your oven, so if you have a self-cleaning oven, like I don't have one, then you're in really good shape. You can make milchik tefleshe, you can make parv, you can make, it's like across the board, you can do whatever you want. It's like, I don't understand how it works. It's like it's chemicals and heat, and it just destroys, like you said, destroys the oven. But that you can do. I don't have a self-cleaning oven, so there's a big dispute how to kosher your oven. Certain people do buy special toaster ovens for Pesach for a number of reasons. Why? Because of the glass on the door of the oven. There's a dispute amongst early authorities if you can kosher glass for Pesach or at all. The Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, the Ashkenazic authority for Ashkenazic Jewry, holds that you cannot kosher glass. But there are certain areas where, you know, it was maybe only for Pesach in certain areas of where there's certain need, that there might areas that the Ramah might himself be allowed. I won't get into too many halachic discussions. So some people buy a toaster oven for Pesach because of the glass door, and some say you can't really clean everything. The OU holds, this is Rav Moshe Feinstein's ruling, and I think it's legitimate. Of course, Rav Moshe Feinstein said it's legitimate. It would mean that you can clean the oven extremely well. I use very, very severe chemicals, just like destroyed the oven and smells awful. I sit there and I go inside and outside and try, because there's a lot of residue. And then what I do is I turn the oven on after 24 hours of it not being used to the highest heat for about 20 minutes to 40 minutes and make sure it destroys everything. However, the concern comes now is regarding the racks and the trays. So I'm going to tell you something that I recommend everybody to do because this question comes up way too much. If I put a pita directly on the rack, if we go back to what we talked about Hagalah and cold and Libun, what would the rack require having a hot pita? What do you guys think? What would it require? Hagalah, Libun? Libun, right? Because it's dry heat. That makes the rack hard to kasha. That's really an issue. What I do in my house, and it's not that hard. My wife loves this. Every couple of weeks, it's not crazy, I cover my rack with tinfoil because I heat up, or I heat up on something else, or on a piece of tinfoil. Because if it doesn't directly cut it, then you can kasha the rack. Some say that you can kasha the rack inside the oven if there's no pita or anything directly on the rack. If not, you have to cover it really well, and it's complicated. Sometimes you sometimes use a different rack for Pesach, but it's recommended all year long to prevent this situation, not to have any direct chametz on the rack. Yes. Right. So the question here was regarding glass cups that you use for cold drinks, you're saying. So yeah, so that goes back to what we said about hadacha. It's enough to just wash it off. So that since it only absorbs very minute amount. So you can do this, you can wash those cups and use them for Pesach. If you're very careful, use them in cold. However, when it comes to glasses, I want to mention something that's important halacha to know. Some people have a custom of drinking whiskey or all kinds of different alcoholic beverages that contain chametz. The problem with that is that according to the halacha, if you have a glass, shot glass, for example, that holds a whiskey and it sits there for more than 20 minutes, there's a halacha called kavush kemevushal, meaning the sharpness of the merit of the alcohol, it's 40% alcohol, is absorbed into the glass and then you can't kasher. That's why I always say that if you have a kiddush cup that you use for whiskey or a shot glass, you should be very careful. You have to kasher that really for Pesach. It's not a joke. Meaning there's the other problem that you have a kiddush cup that you have grape juice or wine that some chametz may fill in is an easier question. But if you use and drink strong alcoholic beverages that contain chametz, those glasses need, you can't kosh them, you have to kosh the kiddush cup for Pesach. It's very severe. Yes. Yeah, they asked if you want to move from fleishik to parva, what pot you use with Hagalah. Right. So it's like this. Regarding all year long, as long as the pot that you do Hagalah in is Eino Ben Yoma, whether it's Fleishich, whether it's Milchik, or whether it's Parv, you can kosher anything inside there. If I want to kosher cutlery that got mixed up it's Fleishich cutlery, I want to kosher in a Milchik Eino Ben Yoma pot that boils, that's sufficient. With Pesach, so the custom is generally to use a Pesach pot to kosher, if you can, it's a custom, and then you kosher the pot. How do you kasher the pot? So this everybody learned about this last year, because no one knew this. But some big pots, you don't have the diameter to put a bigger pot inside. So if you go to the Hagal Kilim down your road where they use gigantic garbages, you can put anything inside. But the Shulchan Aruch brings explicitly that all you have to do is fill up with as much water as you can. Sometimes you can put in like a hot rock or something, and then have the pot overflow. That's how you kasher the pot itself. So the custom, if you're kashering at home, is to use a pesadich pot to kasher your chametz to kelim, and then kasher the Pesach pot. Just to answer your question. Yes. Your question is that sometimes there are knives that have holes in them and all kinds of stuff like that. Yeah. So there is a custom like that. I think if you're very careful to clean it very well, or put some kind of, you just steam something, or you can still do alcohol to today. It's not impossible. So we got the sinks that we're going back to the oven. So the oven, again, I said that the oven you can kasher by waiting 24 hours, cleaning it very, very well. I would do it before the, I would clean and then wait 24 hours, just in terms of the seder. You'd clean, then wait 24 hours, put everything inside, and then you can kasher it. I would clean the glass also with very, very, very serious chemicals. And then you can be so mech that that's sufficient and kasher your oven for Pesach. Some disagree. Rav Aaron Kahlo did not like that way of kashering your oven. But that's the way that I think is possible. However, I want to go one, can I answer your question just a second? Regarding the trays. So this is really, really an issue. If, I don't know if you, some of you, in Israel they sell something called niara fia. It's like light. So I got to be honest, I'm very concerned. Sometimes these niara fia are not, they rip, and it's really an issue. So it depends on your own. If you're really serious about a separation between any chametz and the tray, and it's very thick, I would double it up. Near afiyah, you can kasher the trays. If, for some reason, chametz was directly on the tray, they are not to be kashered for Pesach, because libun ka won't help. So either you buy, what I do is you buy disposable pans, and you put it on top, but you should not use the trays, again, unless you're very, very careful and clean. If you are, then you can kasher the trays with the racks and everything all together for Pesach. Yes, I'll go back to you too. Oh, very good. Ah, you got me. I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you very much. The question was, right, the self-cleaning oven, anything you can kosher and you put in your self-cleaning oven that would survive that cleaning, it's kosher for Pesach. So if you put the trays, yes. If you have a friend that have a self-cleaning oven and you want to kosher your trays and she does a favor for you, you can put your trays in her oven and kosher the trays for Pesach. Yeah. If you have a self-cleaning oven, I don't know, it will destroy the tray. No, it won't destroy the racks. Problem is, when you have the coils, you should take off. I switch them or I kosher them. There's these little, the feet thing. Yeah, so I take them off when I kosher. I take them off as well. So it's going back to the stove. How would you kosher the stove? So that's an option to libun chamur with the racks. You could also do libun kal. I'll tell you why. Because I don't know anybody in their house. Tell me if I'm wrong. I have four burners. Is anybody here very careful? Only have a burner for fleishcha and a burner for parv and a burner for milchik? Nobody is, right? Am I wrong? You heat your pasta up, you heat your milchik soup up. So regarding, where was I? The coils. So nobody's very insistent to have one for parva, one for milchik, one for fleishcha. So Ramah says, you know, with basar b'chalav, we do it no problem. On Pesach, a little more machmer. So it's sufficient to do libun kal. What I do in my house is I take off my racks, I pull them apart, I clean them thoroughly. I pour hot water on every piece. And then what I do is I open my flame on my, it's a little dangerous, but I open the flame on my, and I put them through a good number of times to get very, very hot. That's also fine. Regarding the burners themselves, so they also have to be koshered. You have to take it off piece by piece, put them in the sink, hot water, and you put them on the highest amount for as long as possible. All this in a self-cleaning oven, if you want, is easier. There's a custom, and this is also very, 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 very much done. It depends if you know how your coils are made, but to put aluminum foil around them, that's very much advantage of aluminum foil set, because sometimes you can't kosher the coils. However, in my house, for example, the gas coil, the base is made of stainless steel. So I just do hagala to that also. There's a new type of, not a new type, it's actually an old type, it's very common now, called induction coils. You know what induction is? They have these really cool things where it's very safe and it's magnetic, it heats up very well. So that's unique because it's a special type of magnet that heats up the pot itself. How do you kosher it for Pesach? The problem is here is you have the issue with the glass. So in the oven where everything is steam, it's not the same thing, it's just steam. So some say it's easier with the oven is easier. However, with this glass, sometimes things spill and do and so forth. So this year I saw, and I recommend to everybody, if you have induction coils, you don't have to kosher them. You just put on something called, there's the Mechon HaTechnologi Alacha. I'll send you the details after. Create a silicon covering that you cut per size. You cover the induction coils with the silicon covering. It doesn't damage the thing at all. And then you're fine for Pesach. It's like you're covering your countertops. You clean it off well. They're very clean anyways, the countertop, the induction coils. You cover with this piece of silicon and you're fine for Pesach. That's what we recommended. You had a question. In order to nullify anything in flavor, you have to have what's called bitul b'shishim. You have to have 60 times more. And because when we take like a pot, right, or a pan, you have to have 60 times the volume of the pan. That's huge. But if you have it when it's eno ben yomo, so the tam is already weaker and you don't need the 60 times. Or some say, I mean, 24 hours should always be done with everything. Except for libun. Right, so your self-cleaning oven, you can kosher on Friday afternoon before Shabbat. No problems asked. Microwaves. The microwaves for Pesach. So here we come to, again, the concern of the glass plate, meaning the microwave, everything receives stuff in steam. But there's a problem of the glass plate. So some people have a custom to switch the glass plate. In between, you switch the glass plate, and then it's complicated. Whatever, again, here it's only a safek, we're only in a doubt, because not all the time things spill. I'm very careful with my kitchen and very careful with my microwave. So what you do is you again wait 24 hours, you insert a glass cup there, preferable pesedich, and have for 20 minutes the steam absorb and release all the chametz, and then your microwave is kosher le Pesach. In perfect shape. There are some posts who do not like that we kashering a microwave for Pesach. Some will buy a specific microwave for Pesach. I'm not mentioning it again. It's some have concerns with it. But again, there's room to be a little more mako. Any more questions on it I'll take a question on that. So electric coils, they're these, some people use them just for Pesach. The ones that are electric coils that just, that become nice and red, you know what I'm talking about? I'm going to go to your, the regular electric coils, that is libun chamur. If you turn on your electric coil that gets really hot and red, that's kasher in and of itself. With the glass top, okay. So if possible to pour hot water and clean it very well, that would be preferable. If you can use a silicone piece to also cover, that would be that would also be possible. Oh, you can't do an electric one. So I think it's fine. I think it's fine to clean it very well. Try to clean it with some hot water and some special chemicals. Wait 24 hours. I would put on the electric coil. It goes back in when it's not even considered flavor. That needs eno ben yomo, because if it's 24 hours, the flavor is still fresh. It's good. What libun does is it burns. It incinerates any type of flavors. That can be done even if it's ben yomo. And then we're going to come quickly to the bar. I've got the barbecue. So the way you do the barbecue at home, the barbecue you can actually kasher with libun chamor. Some people actually use on the barbecue they put on trays, you know, with the aluminum trays when they cook. I kasher my barbecue, but it's a whole thing. I take everything apart. I use a blowtorch. I clean it out. And then I put on the barbecue the highest amount. If it gets really high to 400 degrees in my barbecue, that's also kosher Pesach. I also recommend, when it comes to barbecue, I do not heat up buns on the barbecue because of that. I use a special tray on top and I take that off for Pesach because then it makes it harder to kasher. So again, because it's something, yes. You have my article too, so you came prepared. The question asked was that we have, like I said, these general kashering stations all over Israel. And, you know, the halacha recommends that everything be eino ben yomo, not be used for 24 hours. However, what happens that he comes along, who doesn't know the halacha, who doesn't have time, and he decides to bring his ben yomo dishes and ben yomo pots, does it interfere with our kashering? Did I get your question correct? So the Chazon Ish was asked, the Chazon Ish was a tremendous Gadol Hador. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. He passed away in 1953. He was asked this question in the 1940s, in 1949, I think. Rav Karelitz came and told him that he wants to kasher the army bases. And the problem with the army bases is that they're cooking all the time. What do we do about Eino Ben Yomo? So the Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe Feinstein also held this way. And this is based on the Rashi. It's based on a very early authority. That, and I want to be careful I say this, I don't want you to think I'm saying something wrong, that if you use very strong bleach and chemicals inside the water, then once the flavor is removed in Ben Yomo, it destroys the flavor so much, because the flavor is like, it's really disgusting because of all the bleach and chemicals, then there's no need for Eino Ben Yomo. However, we don't hold that lechatchila. It's not an ideal way to kasher for a number of reasons. If it was done, it's still 100% fine. But for many halachic reasons, I won't get involved, because if you read some of my articles about if you put in too much bleach, then the color changes and the consistency of the water changes. So I don't recommend doing that to anybody. But if you so regarding your question, all the stations around Israel have received protocol to use bleach and economic, or whatever they call it, in their koshering stations in order to deal with the situation where somebody comes and koshers their the 24-hour-old kelim. Understand? Does that make I don't recommend using it, but I'm saying it's done. Yes. Yeah, I meant utensils, pots, yeah. Right. So your dishes you can't cut. Your dishes that are made of earthenware, you can't kosher. Even your ones for Pesach and your glass ones also. You're correct. I guess it's kind of, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Any other questions? Yes. Well, I think what they want you to do is they want you to sell it because you have a better reason to sell than they do. What I did a couple years ago, I had a really good bottle of whiskey, and I don't drink whiskey that much, but I gave it to a friend who has a big collection of whiskey. And I said, it's yours, and drink some of it before Pesach. So he drank some of it, and he gave back to me as a present after Pesach for those who really need to sell. Also important to mention, since you mentioned, I want to bring the subject up. It's very important regarding checking your local institutions and your local supermarkets that sell their chametz. Because if they do not sell their chametz, they become prohibited after Pesach, because chametz shavar la Pesach. I'm trying really hard. I'll be honest, I'm not 100%. There are over 300 importers in Israel, and all of them bring in OU products, such as Twizzlers, which is chametz gomer. Twizzlers made of wheat. Twizzlers and licorice and all kinds of other products. And I'm trying my best. I hope to make it, you know, as organized as possible to confirm that when you go to buy an OU product, that in America, you never think of having a problem, right? You buy Twizzlers in America, Twizzlers is owned by a non-Jew. There's no problem with his chametz. But if you go to whatever supermarket it might be and you find Twizzlers, you have to be concerned, because if it was in stock by an importer, a Jewish importer, and he did not sell his chametz, then those Twizzlers become usher to eat after Pesach. So I'm trying very hard to get these importers and confirm who did sell, who didn't sell, because the concern you have to think about, because if they have like a storage facility that stores some of this chametz stuff, they don't have enough time to put it in the markets. If whatever's in the supermarket before Pesach has most likely sold. But you know what I'm saying? It's hard to follow this, but it's very, very, we try our best to make it as organized and as well, because we feel we have responsibility over OU products, even though they've been sold or put on the market. So before I finish, I want to summarize. We talked about, cleaning. We talked about the yard. We talked about the kitchen, toys, living room, things that are too high behind the fridge, not to sell your kelim for Pesach. Hachshar, we talked about kibul okach pulto. We talked about eno ben yom ben yomo, that cold in Liban you don't need to, but I'll go, you need to wait. Barbecues, trays, ovens, fridges, freezers, coils, microwaves, countertops, granite, marble, and your microwave and libun, and we talked about self-cleaning ovens. But so any more questions, this is the time to ask. Yes. What's your name, pardon? The truth is, like, I get like 400 a month, so I don't have all the time to follow. If you want to thank somebody, call my wife. So I'll tell you what I do is, it's not easy. First of all, if you can, I don't want to, it's hard to, so I do one day, I just buy, you know, I buy out. If possible, it'd be in this year. This year is harder because Erev Pesach on Shabbat. If you want to turn over your kitchen a week before, it's probably tougher. That's what you're doing? Wow, can you come to my house too? So if you turn over after Shabbos, it's much, much easier. But you have to find ways. I don't know what to tell you. It's to be creative. The women know more than I do. I try to find time where you don't use. Yes. Wow. So Israel is very different than America. In America, when I was a kid, I'll tell you, my wife's from Queens. When I was a kid in Canada, that you had to wait 2 hours for them to buy back the chametz. In Queens, when my wife grew up, they didn't buy back the chametz till the next day. Do you know why? I'll tell you why. I asked the Vad Rabbanim of Queens, and they said that because a lot of Israelis live in Queens, what the Israelis would do is that they consider Shmini Shel Pesach not Chag. They would go into their stores on Yontiv, and they'd start getting ready, so they'd have everything ready for Motzei. It's the whole thing. So the Vada Rabbanim said, you can't open anything on Motzei Pesach. It made it so tough. I'm sure you remember, right, when they used to sell the first pizza for after Pesach for like $80, $100, right? What? $3,000. The first pizza. You got the first pizza after Pesach. We went to stock. Oh, very good. So you'd sell it very fast. So in Queens, it wasn't like that. In Israel, the Mechir works differently. It's still legitimate. In Israel, just technically, you're selling thousands and thousands and thousands of tons of chametz, and there's no what they have in the shtarot in the contracts of mechira is that the non-Jew gives a down payment, and if he doesn't pay by a certain time after Chag, it's as if we buy it back. That's how the system in America, it's not as done as much. They want to make it a better mechira, but in Israel it's completely legitimate. But I would wait 20-30 minutes until you go purchase your chametz. I would also make sure that sometimes I always get concerned that I used to walk around, you know, certain areas of Israel where I see them making chametz way too early. Ever since you go to like 20 minutes after Peter, I'd be very careful. I'm not saying, you know, do as you wish, but I would be very concerned that making sure the place is really, check your local rabbanu, check your local rabbis, and make sure that it's really done well. Because it's not a joke. It's really an issue here in Israel. Yeah, what are the questions? I thought we could soak our glass goblets for 3 days, changing the water each 24 hours. So like I answered, is that your question? The glass goblets, so again, because you're using cold, but hot, it's preferable not to. Do fridges and shelves need to be covered? There is a custom to cover them. I do cover mine, but if you clean them very well, that's not needed. Yeah. So again, that's also something I forgot. Thank you so much. I try to wait also on Shabbos. I'm not sure if this is an issue, but I normally don't put away my food from Shabbat evening or morning when it's hot. I wait till it cools down. But if you do, then I would definitely need a cover. That's correct. We were told you can cut your confection oven. You can cut your confection oven in the way I said. Some people don't like because of the fans inside. Again, I think it's sufficient. I do recommend that next year, It's a really, really smart. Cover your racks all year round. It's really not so hard. Keep tinfoil, and don't beat things all directly. Can you crash the racks in a self-cleaning oven? Yes, you can. And again, I'm reviewing what I said. Pesach is a fun, enjoyable family time. Don't make it stressful. Don't make it nice. Sit down, have a lovely sitting with your family, your friends. And we should zocha the kashem she nigalu benisan kacha atidim nigael Pesach kasher v'samech.